This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
So what we usually do on this show is we highlight startups, companies, and brands that are relatively new in the market, or at least in that growing stage of their business trajectory, you know? We love talking to founders and people in that business space about overcoming challenges and securing funding and all that good stuff. But sometimes we tend to forget that even the big guys, like the big names who have solidified their brand in the industry, also go through ebbs and flows every day in order to keep that brand going, to keep that momentum going. So we asked ourselves a question. How does a well-established brand, a brand that everyone recognizes, keep that brand identity secure and fresh while constantly evolving with the times? There are brands in the Malaysian market that are so big that their names have become synonymous with the kind of product that they're known for. Take Cadbury, for instance, whose name is synonymous with chocolates. It's an iconic part of the Malaysian food culture that goes way, way back. It's nostalgic, which is a feeling and an identity that only a handful of brands get to accomplish. So how exactly does Cadbury evolve while still maintaining that identity, you know, that brand and that nostalgia? To help us understand and answer those questions is Nikhil Nicholas, the chocolates category manager of Mondelez Malaysia, here to talk about flavors. Like, how exactly do they pick their flavors, some challenges they're facing, as well as brand maintenance while simultaneously growing, evolving, and changing all the time. So Cadbury recently came up with Dairy Milk Kopi C, the limited edition Dairy Milk Kopi C. How did that come about? Like what led to the decision to sort of really localize the brand for our market?
So this was probably around a year ago, and we looked around at all the the huge brands that existed in Malaysia, and we kind of looked at them and said, you know, what's common amongst all of these brands? And what was common was that these brands were uniquely Malaysian. So consumers looked at these brands and said that these are uniquely Malaysian. And because we've been here for quite some time, we said that it's time that we kind of pay tribute back to the Malaysian consumer, create something that's especially made for the Malaysian consumer. And what better than a flavor that, you know, we've all kind of grown up with. It is a universal flavor. Coffee is a universal flavor, but Kopi C is a uniquely Malaysian flavor. And that's why we kind of came up with this Kopi C. The interesting thing is that it's made especially for Malaysia. So it's made in our plant, which is 40 minutes from here in Shah Alam. Mm-hmm. We just produced 1 month worth of stocks. So it's in the market and out of the market, and we did it only for Independence Day. So kind of timed it along with it to celebrate Malaysia, to celebrate the flavors of Malaysia, basically. So that's what we really wanted to do.
Celebrate Malaysian culture, basically, with the flavor.
Celebrate the flavors of Malaysia. It's an incredibly complex nation, mm-hmm. but full of flavor, and that's what we wanted to then pay tribute to. While creating something especially for Malaysia.
Were there other flavors that were discussed, you know, before finally deciding on Kopi C?
To tell you the truth, yes. I can't tell you which ones there were.
Sure.
Because this is not the last Independence Day.
Okay. Yeah. So we might see other flavors in the future.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Okay, because I was thinking like a Cadbury, like Teh Tarik or something, which I'm sure was one of the options. You don't have to say yes or no.
Yeah, you can't see me nodding my head.
Yeah, I can't see you nodding your head. you've also paired up with Datuk Lat,
yes,
recently. So he's working on new sleeves, or like he came up with a few sleeves for the Dairy Milk chocolates itself, right?
Absolutely.
So tell us about that connection. Like how did that come about?
So we wanted to partner with someone who's iconic in Malaysia, whose work represents Malaysia. And then we could not think of anyone better than Datuk Lat. And when we spoke to him for the first time, we did not have to sell the idea of Cadbury, because it's a brand that he has also grown up with. And what he did for us was to create these three drawings of Cadbury placed in Lart's world. So if you look at the three drawings, it's basically Lart's world, but there's hints or a small presence of Cadbury here and there, which is what he would have then seen growing up. Mm-hmm. And what we have then done with those illustrations or artworks is to then convert them to these sleeves, limited edition sleeves that, you know, kind of sleeve all our chocolate range. And what we've also done is taken those drawings and put it on these very cute enamel mugs, which were, you know, nostalgic coffee seed drinking mugs. Mm-hmm. And that's really like a collector's edition, because we've hardly done anything of those mugs. And you could have easily got it in store if you purchased a little bit of Cadbury Dairy Milk. So that's like a consumer promotion that we were running. Mm-hmm. Just for a month, get these mugs. And they were in three colors, the colors of the Malaysian flag. So that's what we wanted to give back to consumers.
Okay, I'm gonna revolve around the same kind of question. Is this something that could start like a new trend, you think, in like custom localized packaging by local artists? Maybe could we see like other local artists lending their designs to your packaging?
I think we've seen an amazing response this year, and that definitely encourages us to do something like this in the future. Maybe a bit different, but it definitely encourages us to do something like this, because we've seen an amazing response from consumers.
Okay, from a branding perspective, how do you balance something like that, like using customized local art on something as iconic, you know, something as iconic and well branded as Cadbury? So when you bring these custom artists in, or, you know, for special occasion designs, how do you make sure that identity of Cadbury is kept intact?
I think there's two things to it. I think one is, whenever we talk of Cadbury, it definitely has its own distinctive assets. Purple is a distinctive asset. So when you see purple, you think of Cadbury. Just the chocolate cube is a distinctive asset, because you hardly see those cubes anywhere else other than Cadbury. You have iconic devices like the glass and a half of milk. So there's the, you know, the two tumblers with milk coming down. Mm-hmm. So those are all quintessentially Cadbury. And I think working with Datuk Lart has also been a pleasure, because he's been able to add to that as opposed to take away from it. And therefore, his sleeves therefore go very well with the current packaging. And in a way, it's a translation of Cadbury in Lart's world. So it's literally Cadbury sleeved in Lart's world. And that's how then the brief comes to life with these sleeves. Okay. So it goes better together at the end of the day.
It complements.
It complements, absolutely complements. And it does better than what they would do individually or without each other.
What's the most popular line of Cadbury chocolates here in Malaysia? Like, what flavor?
So the most popular is actually the roast almond.
Ah.
So it's a whole almond with a nice little crunch in it. So that's really the most popular, after the plain chocolate.
The dairy milk.
The big itself. Dairy milk, yeah. This is huge, 165 gram pack.
Mm-hmm.
So that and the roast almond in it is actually the most popular.
The most famous one.
The most popular here, yeah.
Okay. So I've always been, you know, curious about this. Like how do you decide on what flavors make it to market? Like, you know, what's that process like? How do you know what resonates with the market and decide on mass manufacturing a specific flavor?
So it draws upon a lot of local insight, where we look at the flavors prevalent in a certain market. So the flavors that might exist in a country like Malaysia would be different from the flavors that might exist, say, in a country like an Australia or a UK or an India. So there's definite local nuances that exist in the kind of flavors that are prevalent. We look at all of these flavors. We look at how all these flavors can translate into a chocolate. We try and create samples and then taste them, and what tastes best is what we then give to our consumers. So that's really, in a nutshell, the way the process works for us.
Okay, so it's more like gut feeling, what you feel will... It's like instincts, a lot of instincts, a lot of tasting.
It's a lot of tasting. It's definitely a lot of tasting. It is truly a gut feeling. But it's a lot of tasting.
It's a lot of tasting. But it's not a bad job at all.
Not at all.
No. We're joined this morning by Nikhil Nicholas, whose job title as Chocolates Category Manager wins him the award of best job title ever. And we'll be right back after these messages. BFM 89.9.
For more, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You're still listening to Enterprise. I'm Arvind Yuvaraj, and I'm joined by the Chocolates Category Manager of Mondelez Malaysia, Nikhil Nicholas, who's here to talk about the legacy of Cadbury chocolates here in Malaysia, as well as how their brand has evolved to reflect the times. Okay, so marketing question. Cadbury is very nostalgic for many people. So as a brand, how do you ensure that you change the look and the themes to fit with the times while also staying true to the stuff that made Cadbury what it is, you know, stuff that generations of people associate the brand with? Is it tough doing that? Is that like a difficult balance?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question. And I think the way we look at it is to try and answer the question, what does Cadbury Dairy Milk really stand for? And there are timeless emotions that Cadbury Dairy Milk stands for. For example, the latest campaign that we're doing, and it's really a global campaign that's also come to Malaysia, is all about the generosity that Cadbury Dairy Milk stands for. It's all about making something good happen. And these are timeless emotions that, in a way, are relevant to the youth. And also they are relevant to people who've had Cadbury Dairy Milk, say, for the last 40 or 50 years. And these are timeless emotions. And it is irrespective of the kind of age group that you fall into. And this is the equity that I was talking about that Cadbury Dairy Milk has kind of built. Mm-hmm. And in the way the brand positions itself for different audiences. So while you might have an older generation that has, you know, the plain chocolate as their favorite, you'll have different offerings for the younger generation. Something like a Marvelous Creation. Now, who would have thought of, you know, popping candy in chocolate? I mean, that's an interesting concept. But and that's a way of then modernizing the way Cadbury Dairy Milk appears to consumers, while at the same time retaining its core of, you know, authenticity, real people, real feelings. That's what you kind of think about when you talk of Cadbury Dairy Milk.
Mm-hmm. Still being the same chocolate that they had maybe 20 years ago, 25
Absolutely.
Years ago.
Absolutely. Retaining the core while presenting itself in a fresh avatar, mm-hmm, every couple of years, so that you continue to remain relevant while not losing what you're essentially made of. I think that's probably the story of Cadbury Dairy Milk for the past many, many years.
Okay, so as far as chocolates are concerned, Cadbury is still the most well-known brand of chocolate here in Malaysia. How has it maintained its position after all these years, like with so much competition?
I think it's a combination of three things. I think at the heart of it is the equity of Cadbury Dairy Milk. Mm-hmm. And we've done a lot of campaigns to kind of build on this equity of Cadbury Dairy Milk, talking about how this is really the best tasting chocolate, how it's smooth and chocolatey, how it's relevant in all our lives. So there's a lot of work that's done on the equity of Cadbury Dairy Milk to just become more relevant to the Malaysian consumer, to be the brand that the consumer loves. So there's a lot of work, lot of advertising that's being done on this to build the equity. I think second is, and it's something that we've done well in the recent past, is we've brought in a lot of innovation to a category like chocolate as well. So if you look at say the past couple of years, we've been on a launching spree. So we've launched this product, Marvelous Creations, which is jelly popping candy and chocolate. It just kind of pops in your mouth. Mm-hmm. We've launched Cadbury Dairy Milk Oreo last year, which is bringing the best of the Oreo biscuit, the vanilla cream, and chocolate together.
Yeah, I just had some yesterday. It's amazing.
Beautiful. Yeah. I am glad to hear that. Mm-hmm. And this year we've launched something which is known as Cadbury Lickables, which is basically chocolate in a spoonable format, and you get a toy free with it. And there's plans for next year as well. So there's a lot of innovation within the chocolate category as well that Cadbury Dairy Milk is driving, and that's something that's allowing us to remain relevant to the consumer as well. I think the third thing is something like our activation on Independence Day, where there's a lot of activation on the brand that's happening. So if you look at this year, we've done two big activations. One was our partnership with the English Premier League, which we called Cadbury Football Club. Ran from March to May, extremely successful for us, and the Independence Day campaign, which we ran in August. So I think it's a mixture of these three things: continuous work to drive the equity on the brand, a lot of innovations coming in, and therefore a spree of launches, and activations to remain relevant to the shopper as well. So I think it's a combination of these three things that's really helping us then get back to a market leadership position.
Okay. But you have competition in the market.
Absolutely.
Is it in the same league as Cadbury?
So let me put it this way. I think in there's definitely strong competition, and there's a tussle for number one. And it's a tussle that we've been winning for the past 12 months.
Okay, so just out of curiosity, what happens when a line of chocolates doesn't go so well? Like, say you come up with, I don't know, I'm just like dark chocolate something something, or flavor X, and for some reason consumers aren't responding the way you want them to. What's the next step? Like, you rebrand it, pull it from shelves, different form of marketing?
I think the fundamental truth that we live with is consumer is king. If you create a product that the consumer does not like, then the consumer will tell you that they do not like it, and it is our job to listen. So it goes through a process. If there's a problem, we try to fix it. If there's a problem that we cannot fix, then we kind of discontinue and take another crack at it. But you have to listen to what the consumer tells you. So there's no two ways about it.
Cadbury recently came out with the Cadbury Oreo, which is amazing, by the way. And Mondelez also has other things like Tiger Biscuit or Tiger Biscuit and Twisties under its umbrella, right? So will we be seeing other collaborations in the future? You know, like a Cadbury Barbecue Twisties crossover, maybe?
I think it sounds interesting, and you've just put a thought in our head.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that.
It sounds interesting.
Yeah, it sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you decide on what and what goes together? Like what's the process? And I know I keep asking about processes because it's such an interesting aspect, right? So how do you know, like what flavors go well together in these hybrid products?
I think the first question to start with is what goes well with chocolate. There's a few different things you could do with chocolate. There's flavors that you could introduce that are popular flavors, and Kopi C is an example of that. Along with flavors, there's textures you can introduce. So you can introduce crunchy, you can introduce chewy, you can introduce a rough chew, you can introduce a mousse, you can introduce caramel, and these are all textures that you then play with. And then really what we do is we try and map this out onto an entire grid of textures and flavors, which we kind of refer to as each states. And this is getting a bit technical, but and we look at what's the best way to deliver to all of these each states. So the best way to deliver to, say, a crunchy each state was to introduce crunch in chocolate, and what better way to do it than to introduce from a brand within Mondelez's stable something iconic like Oreo, because Oreo gives you the crunch of the biscuit, Oreo gives you the smoothness of the vanilla cream, and that kind of just goes with chocolate. I mean, so it's an interesting process. It's a bit of science, it's a bit of art.
Yeah.
And we have fantastic guys in our research and development who do this day in and day out.
Okay.
So, yeah.
The technical part was interesting when you said that, like, each states, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. What kind of challenges is Cadbury facing as a brand here in Malaysia?
So I think the one thing that you talked about earlier was in terms of a tussle for number one. That is constantly a challenge, and you know, that's a huge part of why we then go to work as well. And I think the challenge that we're facing is how do we continuously remain relevant to the consumer, because there's more brands coming in, there's more competition coming in, there's more formats coming in, you know, but as the incumbent market leader, how do you continuously remain relevant to the consumer? And that's really the thought that keeps us going in a way. So that's it is the challenge and it is the solution for us.
Okay, let's talk about expansion. What's next for Cadbury and what can we expect?
You know, I can't get into specifics
no,
of that.
No, no need specifics. I'm not asking you to unveil, like, what are you coming up with in, like, July 2019? No. Just like, you know, rough plans.
What I can say is that 2019 for us will be bigger and better than 2018.
Okay.
And we have a lineup of strong innovations and strong campaigns that we are currently working on and that we will get to market in 2019. The ambition is to be the undisputed market leader, and that's what we are working towards.
And keep that momentum of the last 12 months going.
Absolutely. And, you know, as I said, consumer is king. If you do something wrong, they will tell us.
Okay, I'm still waiting for the teh tarik ice cream.
Yeah.
Remember, you can stream this interview with Nickel Nicholas, the chocolates category manager, again via our podcast on the BFM app. And the app is, of course, available to download for free on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. Or you can also look us up on Spotify. We are there too. This has been Arvind Yuvaraj on Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.